The day before Thanksgiving, I got a text from one of my former bosses. Now, he and I still keep in touch, but admittedly, we just don't keep in touch very often. Life gets busy, things get in the way, he's retired and enjoying life. But that doesn't mean I don't think of him often or the other people who've had a tremendous influence on my career. As I spent the last few days being a little more grateful for the people and things in my life, it got me thinking about the people and circumstances that have had a profound impact on my career. We have those people who mean a lot to us. They did something or they did a lot of things that have helped define us and shape our careers. We never forget what they did for us because we take those lessons and we carry them forward into our current role, our leadership roles, the people who we get to work alongside with every day. So in this episode, I'm going to get a little sentimental with you, my friends, because I'm going to tell you about two amazing bosses I've had in my career. And yeah, I've had a few more than that, but I'm going to save those stories for another time. But these two leaders were there for me at a very pivotal time in my mid-career journey. They invested their time to help me be successful, and I want to say thank you to them in this very special episode by telling you about them. This is the Mid-Career GPS Podcast, and I'm your host, John Nerwell. I'm here with you each week to help you navigate your mid-career journey so you can show up to find a job you love or love the job you have. It's time to start building your mid-career GPS. So let's get started. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the podcast. I hope you had a wonderful and safe Thanksgiving. And as we move into the holiday season, a happy Hanukkah wish for all of you who are celebrating. And we're 32 days, 31 days out before we say goodbye to 2021 and get ready for 2022. It's hard to believe this year has flown by as much as it has, but I hope it's been a good year for you. And if you're looking to do some things to help set you up a little more strategically work-wise for you the rest of this year and for 2022, I want to invite you to join my 14-day Build Your Mid-Career GPS Challenge. We start on December 1st and everything ends with a live event on Tuesday, December 14th. Now, during this challenge, I'm going to walk you through the same components in my book, but we're going to do it in real time. And I'm going to help you prepare, position, and promote who you are and what you do so you can show up to find a job you love or love the job you have. We're going to talk about your resume, your LinkedIn, your networking, and your interviewing, as well as your strengths and your mindset to help you go after that ideal job that you want right now at this pivotal point in time in your career. The cost is $49. And if you want to sign up, you can either click the link in the show notes or visit johnnerwell.com/challenge for more information. And if you'd like to get a copy of my book, Your Mid-Career GPS, Four Steps to Figuring Out What's Next, now is an excellent time to do it because for a limited time, I've discounted the price of both the Kindle and the paperback. So go to Amazon to check out your copy of Your Mid-Career GPS. And if you'd like to get a signed copy of the paperback, message me directly. You can either DM me on social or you can email me at john@johnnerwell.com and we'll talk about how you can get a signed copy of the book. In today's episode, I'm going to tell you about two amazing bosses I've had, but I don't want to discount or discredit some of the early childhood influencers we've had on our lives as well. These are your parents, your relatives, your siblings, your friends. they're the people who have had that kind of impact or maybe provided certain experiences or circumstances that have had an effect on where you are today in your life and in your career. Yes, they're important, but once we start working, we have these professional relationships that shape us very differently. In fact, we actually spend a little bit more time, if not a lot more time, with our colleagues and our bosses than we do with our biological families, just because we're working, we're earning a paycheck, we're doing those things to get our career started. And depending on what your early career journey is like, it sets you up for even more success at mid-career. So while I've shared certain parts of my story before, for those of you who have not heard it, I had a 25-year career in education that initially started with me teaching in a private school right after I graduated with my bachelor's degree. I got my master's degree in teaching and a math certification as well. And after graduation, I spent 14 years at a wonderful small school district in Oakland, New Jersey, in Bergen County. I thought Oakland, California was the only Oakland in the country. I didn't realize there were other Oaklands out there. But Oakland is in the northern part of New Jersey. And as I've often shared before, it's next to the Real Housewives. That is a completely different podcast episode, but it really was a great place to teach. There were three elementary schools and one middle school. And the interview process for that job was without a doubt one of the most challenging and difficult interviews I had ever been on. You hear me talk from time to time about how can I help you? And we come from a place of value and service. I had had some experience, but what I knew was that there was a specific need that this school district had. But it was a matter of me ensuring that I was the best candidate, I was the right fit, and that I was going to help move the purpose, the vision, the mission of that school district forward by me coming on board as a teacher. Now, the head of the math department, though at the time we weren't structured in that way, but he was definitely the leader of the mathematics department. Tom was somebody when I interviewed with that I initially and immediately respected. He was someone who I had a really good feeling about that I could learn from and I could work well with. And if they would just give me a chance, that I was not going to let them down. I got offered the job and I remember going to my classroom was room 304. It's funny, every time I check into a hotel room, if I'm ever in room 304, I'm like, oh, that's what was my old classroom number. Any of you teachers out there, if you do that too, right? And I remember that first year, he spent so much time with me. And while I appreciated it, I didn't have the magnitude of how much time he had spent with me until years later when I moved into his role and was doing the same thing and remembering all of the great care and time that he took to ensure my success. But in doing that, it was Tom's investment in me and in everybody else in our department that the math team was going to be the best team. That we were going to work well together and support each other and mentor and professionally develop. And that just because I was the new kid on the block didn't mean that I didn't have something to contribute. Tom was a huge proponent in professional development, whether it be from state or national associations to help us be better mathematics instructors. But he was always pointing us to resources of people in the field who he admired and respected. And we got to go to conferences and hear them speak and learn from them. He modeled in so many ways what he wanted for us. He didn't just tell us what he wanted, he showed us. And there was a pivotal time in my teaching career. It was like around the second or third year. Tom came to me. Now, keep in mind, I'm not tenured. At the time, tenure in New Jersey was 3 years and one day. And like tenure, just like any other at-will employment, you can be let go for any reason. So basically, you're trying not to screw up, right? You want to be able to do a really good job and be able to stay and get your tenure and everything. And he comes to me and he says, I'm going to need you to do me a favor. And I said, sure, what do you want? And he goes, I'm going to need you to teach some classes other than math. Ugh, what? I'm here to teach math. I'm certified to teach math. He's like, yeah, and you're also certified to teach kindergarten through eighth. So we have a need and you need to fill it. Okay, what do you want me to teach? He says, I need you to teach public speaking and study skills. Ugh, are you kidding me? Like, how am I going to do that? He says, well, we have some resources and things like that. And there's a curriculum you can follow, but you're going to be able to make it your own, but you need to teach these classes. Why do I need to teach these classes? Now, when you ask that question of a boss, the last thing you want to hear is because I'm telling you to. Tom was not the kind of boss that would do that. Tom was transparent and he gave me the picture of where we were at with enrollment and where classes were. And there was a need and they thought I would fit in well here. And he's like, just do this for a year. The enrollment numbers are going to be much better. We've got more kids coming up and you're going to get 5 classes of math next year. Don't worry. Okay. So for a year, I taught public speaking and study skills. Now, admittedly, I love the public speaking class and hated teaching the study skills class. I just didn't like it. But it gave me an idea for what I was really good at and what I wasn't. It helped me deal with change. It helped me deal with some adversity. And what it also did was teach me what a good leader does. Tom told me about how this would impact my brand and my reputation in the district. He asked me, what do you need to be successful? And he asked me, how can I help you? Imagine having a boss or a leader that looks at you at a pivotal time and says, how can I help you? Throughout all the episodes of this podcast, if there is one recurring theme to help you navigate your career journey, it's either asking or answering the question, how can I help you? And that was one of the many things I appreciated working with Tom, was that he was always there to help. He was never too big to give you his time. He understood that to build a cohesive team, that our success was really dependent on everybody working together. And yes, some people needed a little more than others. There were times in my 14 years there where I needed a little more because of some personal things that were going on. And Tom was able to give that for me. And then when things were really, really good and I didn't need as much, you just give back. You show up, you dig in, you are there when people need you for, and you're there to help them no matter what. As my career progressed and I became a middle school mathematics coordinator, I got to work even more closely with Tom. And then when Tom got ready to retire, I was very fortunate and very blessed that I got to move into his role. And for the last 3 years that I was there in Oakland, I served as the district mathematics coordinator and had all of that time to learn from Tom leading up to me taking over that position, because I got to learn things like budgets. How do you run an effective meeting? By the way, stick to your agenda, start the meeting on time and end a few minutes early. Picking and choosing your battles, how to deal with the inner politics that happen, building relationships with administrators and leaders that are collaborative as opposed to being confrontational, knowing how to support everyone. And look, make no mistake about it, Tom was in the classroom the whole time. So to sit in his room and watch him teach, he was an expert teacher that I got to learn from. So I think all about those things that Tom was able to do for me. You can imagine that when I had that mid-career moment that I've talked about before, where I didn't want to teach anymore and I wanted to go do something different and more specifically work with adult teachers and help them to be better, that part of my fear was, what was I going into? I went from a small district of 1,600 students, and I went to go work for the District of Columbia Public Schools, where I ended up supervising 21 instructional coaches across 13 middle schools. And I can't begin to tell you how blessed I was that I met Cheryl, because Cheryl was my new boss. So I made the jump in 2010 to come work for DCPS, but in 2009, I had interviewed for the same job. I interviewed for the job in February. In June of that year, Cheryl called me to tell me that there was some budget cuts and she wasn't able to fill the team as much as she had hoped, but she had guaranteed some more funding for the following year. And she said, can you sit tight? Can you give me a year? Well, yeah, okay. Now, we have Google by then, right? So I've Googled Cheryl. I've seen her on PBS. I've seen her speak. I have seen who she is as a leader. And I've had conversations with her that to have an opportunity to work for her and with her and alongside of her, to me, was such a monumental jump going from where I was to where I wanted to be. And it was the right position for me at the time. So to go back to Oakland in 2009, 2010, have that year to figure out what I got to learn. And then I go back and I interview for the job again. And now I get hired, I get offered the job. And as many of you had heard, you knew that when I moved in 2010, I moved for both professional as well as personal reasons, because I had been dating my now husband long-term for 2 years. We didn't want to do that anymore. And it was easier for me to make the move to DC, but I wouldn't come down without a job. So I got the job. So now I come down and I have a chance to work with Cheryl. And working with Cheryl was understandably a little different than working with Tom. They're two completely different people, but they shared the same values. You take time to build your team. You develop talent in the way that you see best. You have an open door. You're transparent. You communicate as much as possible. You are an expert at giving and receiving feedback, and you know how to have the difficult, candid, critical, intentional conversations that need to be had. And I was so nervous moving into this role. And I thought, what the heck did I get myself into? I went from this cushy Northern New Jersey type job, and all of a sudden I'm in DC going to schools where student achievement and performance were nowhere near what I was used to. And yet, I was all in to work with that school's team to help them turn performance around. And that was because of how Cheryl built her team. I was this guy from Northern New Jersey who just wanted to come down and work. And I was clear on who I wanted to help and what I wanted to help them do specifically. I knew my value. But now I got to work on this amazing team of 16 professional development specialists, some of whom are still dear friends of mine to this day. You know who you are. And how many times have we talked about before on this podcast that sometimes one of the hardest things to do when leaving a job is you leave the great people you work with. I left an amazing group of wonderful people in Oakland, and I found another amazing group of people I got to work with in DC. And it was because of the leadership that set those circumstances up that we could thrive and we could survive. Cheryl is to this day still an amazing leader and amazing what she has done in the educational landscape and marketplace. And you can imagine how my heart broke 3 months after I started that job to learn that she was leaving. Things happen. Sometimes we move into jobs and circumstances change. And for whatever reason, Cheryl had an opportunity to move on, and she did. And I thought, wait a minute, this isn't part of the plan. I came down here to work with you. I came down here for you, and I had it all wrong. I didn't come down just to work with her. I came down to do a job that had a very specific purpose and mission. I was having my moment of petulance, if you will, when I found out that she was leaving, because sometimes we don't like change. Things change and they're not part of our plan. But what Cheryl and Tom did for me, and let me rephrase that. What Tom did for me was he helped me find my voice. As a leader, as an educator, as a consultant, as a professional, Tom was the leader who helped me find my voice. And Cheryl was the leader who helped me strengthen it. Because there have been times throughout my career that I look back and I look at moments and I was like, how in the hell did I navigate out of that situation? It's because they helped me find my voice and they helped me strengthen it. Who are those people for you in your career? Who has helped you find your voice? Who is helping you strengthen your voice right now? These are the people who contribute to your success. I'm willing to bet you have a Tom and a Cheryl in your life as well. And my hope is that you have already and you will continue to find ways to thank them and let them know how important they are to you. That because they've led by example, you've followed, you've witnessed, you've heard, you've emulated, you've found ways to make them your own. Isn't that what good leadership is? That a good leader is someone who empowers us to go do the things that we're called to do? Look, if you're in a situation right now and you're not happy with where your career is at, you have the ability to change it in whatever time frame you need. We have talked before on several episodes. You can go back and listen to the episode about your money story with Laura Rotter and the episode I did right around that about finding a job or finding the job. There are things that we have to consider when we go to plan a career move or a job change. But if you're not happy with where you are, you know it. You know there's a change coming. It's just a matter as to when. And if you're working with someone you don't like or you don't respect or they're overwhelmed and they don't have the time to give you, you have an option. You can either try to make that relationship better or you can leave and go create that somewhere else. Not all bosses are great bosses. I've been very, very fortunate that I have had two amazing bosses I've shared with you today. And I've talked about some others in my books as well. In our mid-career journey, we have to take a look at our mindset. What is going on in our mindset when things are going well for us? What are the signals that we give that communicate that we're coming from that place of value and service? Because when we show up from a place of value and service, we do our best work. We show up as our best selves, whether you are running a multi-billion dollar company or you are doing something else. You're doing social service work. You're an educator. You're a financial professional, a project manager, an IT specialist, a customer service representative. We all have the opportunity to do great work because we show up fully. And when we have a boss or a leader who takes us under their wings and teaches and mentors us and shows us what we need to be doing, it's where we find our voice and we strengthen our voice. Because then that allows us to show up even more fully in our next job. So, who's in your corner? As you prepare for 2022 and we get ready for 2021 to close, who's in your corner? Who's your biggest cheerleader, both at home and at work? What's been your greatest accomplishment this year? And what is still left for you to do in 2021? There is still time to go after it. And I want you to go after it because after all, it is how we build our mid-career GPSs. I say it at the end of every episode, right? We build our mid-career GPSs 1 mile or 1 step at a time, and how we show up matters. We show up because we've done the preparation, the positioning, and the promoting of who we are and what we do so we can show up from that place of value and service in our current role or in our next role. So here's the thing. You are invited to join my private Facebook group. Search for Your Mid-Career GPS and come on in and join an amazing group of like-minded professionals who, like you, are all trying to figure out whatever is next. If we're not connected on LinkedIn, find me on LinkedIn and connect. Let me know that you heard this podcast and you want to connect. And lastly, don't forget about the challenge. Go to johnnarrow.com/challenge or check the show notes. We start on December 1st, and you can still get in a few days afterwards if you're listening to this later. But I'm going to close with this today. And I am very fortunate that I am friends today with several students of mine. In fact, I even had an opportunity to work with one of my former students in the same organization. That was a weird day, I'm not going to lie. But Sarah's great, and we had a great time working together in that regard. But you know, one of the things Tom taught me was he's like, never, ever, ever forget the impact you have with those students in your room, that you get them for 45 minutes at a time, and they're there for you to be at your best. And they're going to remember what they heard coming in, and they're going to remember what they heard going out. And here's what I used to say to my students every day on the way out of my room, and I share this with you. I said 5 words to them. Go create a successful day. Because success is all how we define it. It's all how we define whatever metrics or measures that we have to gauge our performance by. It doesn't have to be these tremendously grandiose things that we do. Success isn't selling 1 million copies of your book. Success isn't making $1 million. Success isn't, or doesn't have to be, you know, leading a team of 15 people or 50 people or whatever it is. You get to define what success looks like. And sometimes success is just being your best self. being nice to people, being respectful, reaching out to someone who you haven't talked to in a while, or maybe saying thank you to somebody who you haven't had a chance to in a while. So whatever that is, my friends, I'm going to leave you with this today. Whatever you decide to do after listening to this podcast, go create a successful day. And I'll talk to you next week. If you enjoyed today's episode and don't want to miss another one, follow on Apple Podcasts or wherever you usually listen, and kindly remember to rate and review. Visit johnnarrell.com to download your free job search tracker and other free mid-career GPS resources right there on my homepage so you can start building your mid-career GPS. Come join my private Facebook group at Your Mid-Career GPS and join an amazing community of people like you who are all working to figure out whatever is next for themselves and their careers. And don't forget to connect with me on LinkedIn and follow me on social at John Narrell Coaching. I'll see you next time.